Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. College football world, sports world was taken by storm yesterday afternoon when Chris Lowe of ESPN broke the news that Nick Saban has decided to retire. And then the football world was then subsequently, about 12 hours later, taken by storm again when with the announcement that Bill Belichick has been fired in New England. But let's break down the first one. Nick Saban's retirement. Joining us to help break that down is Mitch Light of The Athletic. Mitch, normally we speak with you on Tuesdays. Have a little bit of breaking news around here of Mike Vrabel being fired on Tuesday, so appreciate you switching around your schedule and joining us today. First, I want to get your initial reaction on Nick Saban deciding to step away from Alabama and ultimately announcing his retirement.
Well, Caroline, I got to tell you, I mean, I had this. I know Chris Lowe broke it. I had it Tuesday afternoon, was all prepared to break the news on your show with you guys, and then I get bumped. So, you know.
Wow. That's on us.
That's on us.
I don't blame us, actually. I blame the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
I do blame Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Drunk.
Yes. Obviously surprised. I think everyone, not shocked, we knew this day would eventually come. With his age and all that, the timing was, you know, interesting. I guess he, you know, there's a lot of different reports out there. One is that he was, you know, interviewing prospective coaches up to the other day and going about his business. And then you talk to some people and some, you know, I was listening to a podcast with Bruce Feldman and Stu Mandel of The Athletic, my colleagues, and they were both saying they were at the Rose Bowl. They watched him. There were clues that this was going to be it for him. So, you know, who knows when Saban finally made that final decision. But I think we're all surprised. It is, I don't know about you guys, like I've been following college football for a long time and there's been shocking things and there's things like, I guess maybe like Texas and Oklahoma switching conferences or the Big Ten announcement might have been bigger, but I don't know. This might be the biggest college football news that like just based on social media and based on everyone's just like going, whoa, that we've seen in maybe 10, 20 years.
I think that it's the biggest indication of his impact on this sport is that this is the biggest coach news, I think, of my lifetime is Nick Saban, especially in the college football level, Nick Saban deciding to retire. And now opens up, I think, the most interesting and the most intriguing coaching search in a really long time, maybe ever. Honestly, filling the shoes, the biggest shoes in the history of college football. We saw this morning Dan Lanning's name was very tightly associated with the opening at Alabama. There was a report coming out that he was in Tuscaloosa. I have heard that that report was not true. But now Dan Lanning's coming out and announced to his team that he is going to stay at Oregon. So Dan Lanning out of consideration to fill the Alabama opening. Who should it be, Mitch?
I think you framed it the right way, Caroline. I think it's, you know, one of the biggest coaching hires that we've seen. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember, you know, I grew up, my dad went to the University of Alabama, grew up an Alabama fan. I mean, I vaguely
tease
remember.
Tease and piece to your dad.
No comment. I was going to say something mean. I remember.
No, I mean because Nick Saban is retiring. That is what I mean.
Yes. Okay. I thought you just meant, you know, you're disparaging his diploma.
Oh no, absolutely not. My diploma is from LSU, Mitch. It's not necessarily the most distinguished university out there. I mean because
no
of his coach.
No comment on that. I don't want to do this. I vaguely remember Bear Bryant stepping down, retiring, and there's obviously a different time there. And, you know, Ray Perkins took over, and, you know, it did not go well. He's a former Alabama guy, you know, NFL coach, left the Giants and all that. It just tells you how difficult it is to follow a legend. I personally think it's going to be Mike Norvell. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think he's a very good coach. He's proven it over two different stops. He has proven that he can adapt to the college football landscape, obviously with the transfer portal and all that. I think Steve Sarkisian is an interesting, I don't know about you guys, my opinion of Steve Sarkisian has changed immensely in, you know, 3 or 4 years.
But Mitch, do you think he leaves Texas?
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think he might be my first choice, but I don't think he would leave Texas. I think Alabama's obviously had more success, so I'm not going to say it's a lateral job. But as far as potential from this point going forward, with Nick Saban not at Alabama, you can definitely argue Texas is a better job with the recruiting base and all that. So I don't think he would leave. I think he's got a great gig. There's slightly less pressure at Texas maybe than Alabama. So I think Mike Norvell is in that sweet spot where he is an attractive enough candidate to get Alabama fans excited. And he's a guy that would take the job. That's who I think it's ultimately going to be.
Now, with that being said, it here's another caveat to it. And I know Jim Harbaugh, there's been speculations that Jim may leave Michigan to go to the NFL.
Sure.
Do you think it would be best for the NCAA, college football, that Jim stays in Michigan? Because now you got Nick Saban has retired, who was the face of college football, so to speak. And then you got Kirby Smart's doing what he's doing in Georgia. Then you got Jim Harbaugh doing up north what hopefully people believe, you know, he can do what Saban has done in Alabama. So do you think it would be smart for the college world that Jim stays in Michigan? Considering what has happened.
I hadn't thought about it that way. At first thought I was going to agree with you, but then I think college football is immune to that. I don't think college basketball is immune to that. I think college basketball has been hurt by, you know, Jim Boeheim.
All these legendary coaches.
Right. And both sports are directed, led by the coaches, but college basketball are more the personalities in what people knew more, especially with the rosters, the transient rosters. So like people identified the sport with those coaches. I don't think football's quite there because I think football is just a more popular sport. So I see what you're saying, but it's sort of like all these other changes, Derek, where we say, oh man, I don't like the transfer portal, but you know what? When the ball kicks off on Saturday, we love it. Like, I don't think who's on the doesn't matter who's coaching. So I'll agree with the sport's more fun with characters and the big names, but I don't think it would really affect the big picture of the sport too much.
So now that Nick has retired, is Kirby the guy? Or is it Jim then Kirby?
I think it's Kirby Smart. I mean, you know, there was a stretch there a couple of years ago when we kind of said that Clemson and Dabo Swinney were at the top of the college football world and they'd won 2 of 3. And it's a what have you done for me lately? And I know Jim Harbaugh just won a title, but the fact that Kirby Smart has won 2 in a row and keeps recruiting at that level and will be a preseason number one. If I'm doing my pecking order, I would have Kirby Smart right now at the top of the college football world as far as best coaches out there. And you know, I might have said the same thing 2 days ago if you would ask me. He's been the only Saban disciple to enjoy that much success at that high a level. I mean, Lane Kiffin's doing pretty well at Ole Miss, but it's not quite the same thing there. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say right now you could put Kirby Smart at the top of the food chain.
We're talking with Mitch Leick of The Athletic discussing the retirement of Nick Saban. Now, we've talked about the job. It's a good job to take. Obviously, Alabama has all the resources that you need, all the money that you need. But, man, oh, man, whoever takes this job, Mitch, do you think Alabama fans are going to want championships, like, right away? Or should there be,
think?
Like – I know, but I just got to ask you because, to me – When you segue from
D-Base, they're exactly. very understanding
exactly.
of the situation.
When you segue from a guy that has been so successful and has been the face of this of the NCAA, the next guy that takes this job, you know, conventional wisdom would think like you got to give the man a little grace period, maybe a year or two to get things back in play. But I don't think Alabama fans are going to do that, which may in turn cause Alabama to do what they did sort of after Bear Bryant, continue to hire coach after coach after coach, trying to reclaim that once fame.
Right, then that's what I was going to say. I'm looking at College Football Reference now after Bear Bryant retired. Ray Perkins, 4 years, gone. Bill Curry, 3 years, gone. Then Gene Stallings had a good run, obviously won a national title. Mike DeBose, 4 years. Dennis Franchione had success but said, this isn't for me. Then Mike Shula, then Nick Saban. You know, it's a different era now. You know, the program's been – it's always been a great program, but it's just had the greatest run. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Like, the only college sports program almost that seems immune to any dips is Ohio State football.
Yeah.
Like, they have never not been good. And, you know, they've had some 8 and 4 years. John Cooper, they weren't, like, top five. But almost every other sport – every other program in any sport has struggled when the right coach isn't there. And with the landscape being what it is now, with Texas and Oklahoma coming in and everyone trying to win at such a high level, I think Alabama could dip. I mean, are we talking dip to a top 5, top 10 program, top 15? But if they, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking in 3 years and Alabama's coming off of 2 straight 9-3 seasons, just because it's so hard to win at such a consistent level. So, I mean, it's going to be a fascinating storyline over the next few years. But basically, to answer your question is, I'm not going to single out Alabama fans. Any fan base that's won at this level will not put up with, you know, anything other than competing for championships on an annual basis.
I see the SEC, other than Kirby Smart, I see the SEC coaches sort of like it was in boxing when Mike Tyson had to leave boxing and everybody was like, thank goodness, this guy is gone. Now we can try to win heavyweight championships. Maybe, just maybe, those that are in the SEC other than Kirby are thinking, thank goodness this man retired. So now we at least have an opportunity or a chance.
Kirby might even be thinking that too.
Yeah, I mean, right. It's going to make everyone's life easier. And there's no doubt. And here's something too, like, you know, I follow recruiting very closely. And if you look at the struggles of the programs in the state of Florida, I know Florida State's back. They coincided with about 6, 8, 10 years ago with Nick Saban and Alabama going into South Florida and dominating in recruiting. You can go back and look, and you can look maybe like the top 10 players in the state of Florida every year. Alabama was getting 2, 3, 4 of those guys, which in years past, those guys were going to Florida. Those guys were going to Florida State, Miami. So it's not just the SEC. It's just his ability to go in, and especially in the state of Florida, and recruit at such a high level affected so many other programs. Like, his tentacles hit everywhere. So, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he did not – I know NIL is a different era now, but he did not lose many recruiting battles when he really wanted a kid. So I think that's going to be interesting to watch too. You know, again, they're all set up for success, support, NIL, all this stuff at Alabama, but the next coach will not be Nick Saban. And so we'll just have to see how high, you know, what level he continues to recruit.
And that's what makes this such an intimidating job. Going back-to-back 9-3 seasons, I think there's a lot of fan bases in the SEC that would say, okay – cool. I think Alabama fans, the thought of back-to-back 9-3 seasons might make them want to throw up. But Mike Norvell, I think, is a very, very interesting name, because not only do I think that he's qualified to take on the job, I also think that he's looking possibly for an out of Florida State, that he's looking at the ACC the way that it's currently constructed, that they missed out on the college football playoff because of the conference that they play in, that they are about to miss out on millions of dollars that the Big Ten and the SEC are getting from their respective contracts. So I think that's an incredibly attractive opportunity for Mike Norvell. But another name that I've heard thrown out, Mitch, that I want your thoughts on, especially as, you know, a graduate from Vanderbilt, a follower of the program, James Franklin.
Jimmy Frank.
Anchor down.
He is, in my opinion, far too sensitive to be the head coach at Alabama. Now, he's at a program that's in a fishbowl. You know, it's a huge fan base, high expectations there. And I'm a James Franklin defender to a degree. I think he's done a good, very good job at Penn State. Hasn't done a great job when you can't beat your two biggest rivals on a consistent basis, or basically Ohio State other than one time. You can't say someone's done a great job. I think he would recruit at a very, very high level. That's one thing. I think he would maintain that. There's just too many other things. Like, he's gone through six offensive coordinators at Penn State, and sort of like, again, I think he's like a little too sensitive. If you look at him in post game press conference, he doesn't really take the blame very often. You know, Nick Saban will go up there and say, I didn't have him ready, I didn't coach him up well enough. You know, I think after the Ole Miss game, the bowl game, the Peach Bowl, like, the first thing he says, he's complaining about a pass interference call in the first quarter. Like, just don't do that. Like, post game. So I just don't think he would handle the pressures of that job very well. So I think he's a good coach. I don't know if he's a great coach. He's a great recruiter. I would not hire him if I were Alabama.
I hear the argument of, well, imagine what he could do with more resources, more money. It's Penn State. It's not like he's working with some rinky-dink program. But I know Mitch Light a lot. Mitch Light is with us of The Athletic. A lot of fan bases in the SEC are now rejoicing now that Nick Saban is gone, looking at some of the domino effects of the transfer portal, or maybe pulling some commitments from Alabama's 2024 class. So if you're a program like Tennessee, what does this mean for Vols fans now that Nick Saban has decided to step away from Alabama?
Well, I think you'd put Tennessee in that short list of the schools that it could impact the most. I believe they're staying on as a rival in the new scheduling format. They play them every year. They recruit against them. So I think probably LSU, Tennessee, and Texas A&M maybe, and then Texas, I guess, you know, some of the schools that kind of think they're in that or want to be in that very, very top tier that will kind of help them the most. So I think it's a good day for Tennessee football when Nick Saban steps down. There's still so much competition out there for players and coaches, and look what happened with LSU this week, hiring coaches away from conference rivals, and the dollar speaks, and LSU's got a lot of them. Alabama has a lot of them, but Tennessee has a lot of them too. So, again, I think it's a good day for Tennessee football.
Now, with that being said, let's sort of segue out of it just for a quick second.
Sure.
Florida State, and we know that Florida State, or many know that Florida State would love to get out of the ACC, but it's going to cost. I think I saw the number somewhere, and it could have been wrong, but it was $500 million for them to get out of their contract. Now, that may have been a little bit too far in regards to the number, but do you think there will be ever a resolution in regards to Florida State? Do you think they will be in a position to get out of the ACC, or will they have to sort of bite the bullet, continue to stay with the ACC, and when they get a chance after the contract is up, then they can get out?
Yeah, I think they're at the past the point of no return. Mm-hmm. I don't follow this as closely as some of my colleagues do, so I can't confirm the money. I know that it's outrageous, but I think with what happened with the legal, the lawyers involved with the ACC right after the regular season, suing back and forth, I think they're past the point of no return. The interesting thing is where do they go? I mean, it seems like they would have a destination in place if they were making this move. I don't think it's going to be the SEC. Could it be the Big Ten? Perhaps. But just think how much, we're talking about Mike Norvell earlier. Like, two plays this year, changed the landscape of college football so much. Jordan Travis getting hurt and Alabama converting the fourth down play against Auburn. Mm-hmm. If neither of those happen, then the playoff's different. Nick Saban probably still retires, but Florida State goes to the playoff. They might win a national championship, whatever. They don't stew the ACC afterwards because they're not blaming getting the snub on the ACC. And then maybe Mike Norvell's not, if he wins the national championship, he's not even a candidate for Alabama. So it's crazy how stuff works. But Derek, to answer your question, I can't give a timetable, mm-hmm. but I do think that it's going to happen at some point where Florida State will not be in the ACC.
Mitch Light, appreciate you, and also appreciate you kind of mixing things up a little bit this week. We'll chat with you next week.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it, Mitch. You too. All right, coming up next, we'll deep dive back into Diana Russini and Joe Rexroad's report, a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of what went wrong with Mike Vrabel. Our thoughts on that, and of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie DeMace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Meanwhile, you mentioned it right off the top. We did have another coach move yesterday. Mike Vrabel is out as head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And I would say, based on the way this was going the last couple weeks, not totally a surprise. And Rand Carthon, the general manager, came out yesterday and talked about how good the relationship had been between him and Mike Vrabel. My understanding is that is true. This was a decision made by Amy Adams Strunk, one that she has been mulling for the last several weeks. I would say maybe the last several months, ever since Mike Vrabel went to New England, took part in the Hall of Fame day, and all the rumors started floating about whether or not Mike Vrabel would be the Patriots coach next year, whether he'd be the Titans coach. He never really addressed that internally. I know that didn't sit great with the people there. He went into a meeting yesterday with the owner. It was not a long meeting, and he was presented with a couple different things. Did not sound like he was into it, and he is now out a sixth head coach opening. And I think it's fair to say, if the coach job opens in New England, currently held by Hall of Fame coach Bill Belichick, Mike Vrabel would certainly be a name to watch.
That was Ian Rappaport on NFL Network. One little tidbit that he mentioned as one of the reasons being Amy Adams Strunk and Mike Vrabel's miscommunication or the fracture in their relationship was Mike Vrabel's Hall of Fame speech in New England, mm-hmm. his trip to New England during his Patriots Hall of Fame induction. And that is one thing that is cited in Joe Rexroad and Diana Russini's breakdown in The Athletic. Joe and Diana cite poor communication, misinterpreted statements, and misunderstandings that all helped bring Mike Vrabel's six-year Tennessee Titans tenure to a surprising end this week. So a few of my takeaways that just that have to do with Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk, the reasons that the relationship started to sour. Mike Vrabel wanted full and total control, reportedly by Joe and Diana. Amy Adams Strunk did not believe that Mike Vrabel had done enough or that elicited full control over the team. One of the things was Mike Vrabel's trip to New England. Some of the things that he said in his Hall of Fame speech that kind of raised some eyebrows from Amy Adams Strunk. The article says the whole event did not sit well with Amy Adams Strunk. The articles that came out, this Athletic article from Joe and Diana cites the Greg Bedard Boston Sports Journal article, Ben Volen's article in the Boston Globe of Mike Vrabel and the Patriots, how Robert Kraft called Mike Vrabel his home run choice. The fact that Mike Vrabel did not address that reportedly with Amy Adams Strunk or Rand Carthon, that Amy Adams Strunk felt that Mike Vrabel should possibly clarify some of those reports. But the interesting thing here, T-Mace, it's a little bit of a little cloudy here for me. All of those things happened before Diana's report in The Athletic around Thanksgiving that she believes in Mike Vrabel, or rather ownership, higher-ups believe in Mike Vrabel of being the head coach of the future. And that's what this article mentions, that high-level, quote, high-level Titan sources told The Athletic in November that the team's long-term plan was to retain Vrabel as coach. But when Amy Adams Strunk basically, you know, gave Mike Vrabel a full endorsement, quote, she did not get the sense that Vrabel felt the same way, and the communication between them got worse from there. Overall takeaways from this article from Diana and Joe.
One, I think, is a really good article.
It's great.
As far as timelines and going in depth and giving sort of those that haven't truly been following the story, give them a timeline of things that have happened that has put us in, at this point where Vrabel's no longer the coach. You know, again, I think we touched on it, right, when it came out that, you know, yes, she loves him now, but things can change.
When does that change?
Exactly. Things can change. So obviously things started to change. And maybe, it probably, you know, had to do with, you know, him going to New England, saying what he said. And listen, I'd be the first one to get on the radio and say, listen, I was wrong in that. I didn't think he meant anything. I just thought he meant the places he's been, because he's been to several different places, not just as a coach, but as a player. So I just thought I was implying that maybe he's not talking about the Titans, maybe talking about other places, because I just didn't think he would be, again, that so brazen to say that and be talking about the organization that employs him to the organization that he played for and putting him in their Hall of Fame.
You always say it, D-Mace, listen to people's words.
Yeah, maybe I should have.
Listen to what they are telling you.
I should have listened to that. I just didn't want to believe that, because it's like, you got a job. The owner loves you. Everybody in the city loves you. From a national narrative, they love you, and they think it would be, you know, heresy for the Titans to get rid of you. I mean, I just never thought that there was a possibility. But Miss Amy, she thought otherwise. You, when you came back, you didn't explain to her what you truly meant. Jared asked the question. You failed to answer the question. And not only that, but then things started to come out that, like, again, I liken it to if our show is doing something and we're discussing things amongst one another, and maybe we're not on page with one another, but that's a part of the show, and then it starts to get leaked out. Well, Willie wanted this, and Derek wanted this, or Caroline wanted this, and Willie didn't want it, or that starts to mess up the chemistry between us, because we thought we had talked about it, we got a resolution to it, and we moved on. But when that stuff starts to come out, it starts to erode the fabric of who you are as a organization. It starts to erode that trust.
What do you think some of those examples of leaks that may have?
I think the thing with Calton being a guy, and it comes to find out that maybe Calton was, Amy never said Calton was the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't qualified. Well, Amy thought he was qualified. You know, he wants more power. No, I don't want more power. It's all of these mixed messages that are coming out of this building that are not beneficial to the organization, but is beneficial to the head coach.
Will Levis is the starter is another one of those
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Will Levis is starter. I didn't want to say that. Well, who put that out there? Why is this stuff getting out, you know? Why are things being said to, and again, I don't, Jared's doing his job. Jared does a damn good job at what he does. He gets information that some people just can't get. But when that information is relayed to him, and then he, doing his job, he's going to relay it on air, Miss Amy's thinking, well, where's this stuff coming from? This is too much coming out of my organization. It needs to stop. And the only way I can stop it is to move forward, move away from this coach and everybody that had anything to do with him. Let's get them all out of the building.
So you think Vrabel was doing too much talking?
Yeah. I think there was too much coming out of that building, and it was all pro Vrabel. Nothing was pro the organization. It was all pro Vrabel, and Rand really wasn't the guy, or Rand doesn't know quite what he's doing. Everything was negative toward everybody else, or not necessarily negative, but everything was pro Vrabel. Everything that was coming out that we read and we reported on was always pro Vrabel. If you can point to me something that wasn't pro Vrabel, then my fault. Mm-hmm. But I think everything that was coming out of that building was pro Vrabel.
Was draft night one of those things, do you think?
Now, when did that come out?
So,
because that's the first time I heard about it in Joe's and Diana's report.
I'm sorry, I'm not referencing Ryan Cowden doing the board. I'm talking about draft night whenever Diana Russini was in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
And she alluded to the Titans possibly trading up and drafting
stuff
a quarterback.
Like that. Stuff like that. Like, why is this stuff coming out of my building? And if we are to believe that Diana was so connected to Vrabel that everything that came out of that building was through Vrabel, well, from Vrabel through Diana. So that was leaked by Diana. I would tend to believe who leaked it, somebody from his camp. So we can't keep having these things. It's eroding who we are as a franchise. That's the way I look. And I could be completely wrong in this, completely wrong. But when you start having these things come out, just drip, 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 and none of it's pro organization, when this is a head coach that preaches organization over everything, there's no one person that is bigger than the organization, but all this stuff is dripping out against the organization and the decision Miss Amy made, come on, eventually you're like, we got to get rid of some people.
Yeah. And I do have a lot of frustration with Amy Adams Strunk. I have a lot of frustration going back to when she fired John Robinson, that you want collaboration and you want synergy within your building, yet you don't give the head coach, that's a pretty massive part of this collaboration, maybe as much say as they should get in the GM search. I have frustration with Amy Adams Strunk essentially trying to force a marriage and force a collaboration between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. And that's not an anti-Rand or anti-Mike sentiment. That's more so my frustration with Amy Adams Strunk, because you can't always force those things to happen. But one thing that I very much so do agree with Amy Adams Strunk in this article, and if this is true, reporting from Diana Russini and Joe Rexroad, that Mike Vrabel wanted full roster control, I'm glad Amy didn't give it to him. I don't think that that works in this league. When the coach is the coach and developing a game plan and hiring a coaching staff, and he's also in charge of the scouts, he's also in charge of acquisitions and free agency and trades.
He might as well be the
draft,
the GM.
That's far too much control for one person to have. You need to have checks and balances within an organization. But in that same breath, that's also why I don't think that a true collaboration where there's no division of roles, that there's no defined final say, I don't think that that works either, but I do agree with Amy Adams Strunk not giving Mike Vrabel full control.
Yeah, I was trying to look through this article. It may have been in another report that I was reading. It alluded to she didn't want the same thing because it mentioned by name Jeff Fisher and the late, great Floyd Reese. Mm-hmm. It mentioned by name those two. She didn't want that same situation to happen over again. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think it was the Athletics report or their article, but I know it was some articles we have been reading or reports we have been reading in regards to that. So, again, and I think I even brought that up the other day, like, listen, they if you don't recognize your fault, you're bound to repeat, or your actions or the things you do wrong, you're bound to repeat those things again. Mm-hmm. I did say that the other day in regards to this organization. They sort of went through the same thing with Jeff and Floyd. It was great for a while, but then it kind of eroded. I wasn't here toward the end of it, but the things that I was hearing, it eroded and eroded pretty fast. She didn't want that to happen over again. So if you don't recognize it, you're bound to repeat it. Well, she recognized it. Maybe she recognized it in the sense it may have been a year too late, because it does say in Diana's in Rex's article that she thought about moving on from him last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they fired John, she thought about resetting it last year. But, you know, she said, okay, I like him. He's a good coach. I feel we can move forward with him. So she just decided to move forward with him. But obviously, it didn't work out the way she thought it was going to work out.
And this text in our text line kind of alludes to or aligns with that point that you just made. Josh texts in, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says whoever the next coach of the Titans is, if ownership comes out at any point and says how much they believe that you're the guy moving forward, you might as well put your house on the market. That is one of my concerns.
Yeah.
Is you give John Robinson a contract extension. Less than a year later, he gone. You give Mike Vrabel more roster control. You believe that Mike Vrabel is your coach. Maybe you believe he's a good coach. Year later, he's gone.
Well, you said Mularkey was your guy.
He's gone.
He was gone.
A couple days later.
Exactly. After a win in the playoff, that subsequently they lose the next round. But he's gone.
Now you believe in Rand Carthon. You want him to be part of the coaching search moving forward, which I think that he should be part of the coaching search moving forward, because the last thing you want to do is make the same mistake twice of trying to force a second marriage. Mm-hmm. But now you believe in Rand Carthon. Rand Carthon is your guy. What? Why should I believe that a year later you're not going to change your mind? Because you have been doing a whole lot of changing your mind.
There needs to be, and I'm not saying, and I'm not going to allude that there isn't, but from what we're reading, how this whole thing has gone down in the course of the last 2 years, not just this year, there needs to be some stabilization. And you're not going to get this franchise stable if you indeed turn right back around. And next year, because you may have not a good season or you don't make the playoffs, then change the GM. Because then you'll be back in the same boat you were in. You know, when you hired out of practice, when you had your head coach and then you hired your GM, typically it's the other way around. And I do wholeheartedly believe in that. Again, sometimes it works where, you know, if you want to hire out of order, sometimes it works. I'm not saying that. But I think she, in her mind, I need to put things back in order. So if you want to move on next year, you got to move on from everybody. You can't just move on from the GM. But I think the clock, the minute he hired his coach, the clock starts, and she's going to give him an opportunity to build this thing. Because you can't build something if you stop. If I hire a contractor to do my house, build my house, and then I fire him the next year, it's going to put me back. And now I got to get with this new contractor, give him the plans, and make sure he knows what he's doing and everything else. Then I got to start over again, not necessarily with the project, but I got to start over again with getting to know this person, this individual, or his firm or her firm. You don't want to do that in this situation. Give this, whoever he hires, y'all are a package deal. Either y'all succeed together, which I pray that they do. I'm pulling for whoever the head coach is. I'm pulling for this organization to be much better next year. But they need some years, because this franchise, this roster is not in a place to win tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They're not. They're going to need some years to build this up. If we don't have a winning team, if we are not fielding the winning team, by the year we have to move into that new stadium, then maybe even a year before that, then we need to make some changes, which would be, what, 3 years?
Yeah.
Which would be 3 years. So, yeah, 24, 25, 26, we move into the stadium 27. So if we're not winning by 26 or 27, there might be some delays over there. But if we're not winning by then I got to make a change because I got to give the fan base optimism that we're heading in the right direction.
I see a couple texts in the text line. It's alluding to the fact that I don't like Rand Carthon. Someone says, just admit you don't like Rand. That's not the case in the slightest. I have no problem whatsoever with Rand Carthon. I think Rand Carthon's a really nice guy. Uh-huh. I want him to be successful here. Mm-hmm. I want him to be successful. I want to know what he and Amy Adams Strunk's vision is for the franchise. I want good things for Rand Carthon. Mm-hmm. I don't dislike Rand Carthon in the slightest. All right, we've got some playoff games this weekend. We've also got some coaching odds. The next head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel's next landing spot. So joining us for her best bets of the weekend is Allie Melnicki of Zen Sports. She'll join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. That's 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Tune into 102.5 The Game this Saturday for Vanderbilt men's basketball. The Commodores take on Mississippi on the road. Pregame begins at 11:30 a.m. and tip-off is at noon. Coverage is also available on the 102.5 The Game app. We've got some playoff games this weekend. We've also got a ton of coaching changes, and Vegas has responded. So joining us, giving us her best bets of the weekend, is Allie Melnicki of Zen Sports. Allie, appreciate you for joining us. First and foremost, I want to talk about some of these coaching changes. Of course, we got the crazy news drop this week. Mike Vrabel has been fired with the Tennessee Titans. He currently has the best odds to join the New England Patriots as their head coach next year. Would you take that bet?
I would, definitely. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence the day after Mike Vrabel goes or 2 days after that Bill Belichick decides to park from the Patriots. I think that would be a perfect fit. You know, Vrabel's loved in New England. I went to college up there. So I would put my money on that in a heartbeat.
I think I would too, Allie. I think I'm with you there. In terms of on-the-field play, Miami and Kansas City coming up on Saturday. I was shocked at the over-under, 44.5, with those two offenses. But what do you like with that game?
I'm actually going to side with the under. I mean, Kansas City has struggled to score the last couple weeks. I actually love Miami in this game. I know they played earlier in the year back in Germany. I forget what week it was. But I think Miami not only covers, but I think they win this one.
Allie, how about Pittsburgh and Buffalo, -10? Do you take Pittsburgh in a point?
So I think Pittsburgh's been the popular pick because they've been hot in the past few weeks. But, you know, if you look at their strength of schedule the last couple weekends, it's not been a big one. I think the Bills are just the hottest team right now in the NFL. They're on a roll. I would side with Bills. I know it's a lot of points to LA, but I'm going with Buffalo.
I think the most interesting game to me is this Cleveland and Houston game. Now, Cleveland has to travel to Houston. Houston is hosting their first playoff game in some years. But they are an underdog in this game. So do you take the points and Houston, or do you go with this vaunted defense in Cleveland? By the way, their corner did get hurt in practice. I don't know if he will play or not. But, you know, he is on the injury report after today, as of today.
Yeah, this is a tough one because these are two teams I actually picked to make the playoffs that people thought I was crazy at the beginning of the year. And I'm together, but I'm going to go with Cleveland right now. I mean, you know Joe Flacco's record when it comes to the playoffs. I think that they're going to roll. You've seen rookie quarterbacks struggle in their first playoff game, and I love C.J. Stroud. But I'm going to go with Cleveland right here.
Do you think Philly has lost some of the luster? I know AJ is dealing with some injuries, and it seems like Hurts has been dealing with injuries all season quietly. But they are a favorite. They're a 3-point favorite traveling to Tampa, I believe. How do you see this one going?
I think everyone in the public's going to side with Philly because they were in the Super Bowl last year. But this is a team that has been struggling the past couple weeks. I think Tampa's a team to be scary about. Baker Mayfield seems to have that team rolling. I actually think Tampa pulls off the upset and wins at home.
Ali Melnicki of Zen Sports is with us. As they always say, anything can happen in the National Football League, especially in the playoffs. So if you have to pick one big upset of the weekend, maybe people don't see it coming, what would be your pick?
I'm going to stick with Miami over Kansas City. I like the Dolphins in this one.
Interesting. So
in
looking
that
at that.
Frigid weather.
Ooh, it is going to be what? 0 degrees? All of 0 degrees
minus
in Kansas City?
Minus 15 or 10, right, Allie? I think that's what they said.
Hey, Dolphins know how to swim in cold weather, too.
Hey, that's true.
Yes.
Touche. A little bit surprised here. The best odds for any time touchdown score for the Kansas City Chiefs, it is not Travis Kelce. It's actually Isaiah Pacheco. Who would be your pick for any time touchdown score with Kansas City Chiefs?
I would go with Pacheco. They're going to go with the run game right there. I don't think Pat Mahomes trusts his receivers. I think Travis Kelce has just been going on the downside, so I'd go with Pacheco.
Best bet of the weekend, your favorite one, whether it's a parlay, whether it's a prop bet, whether it's just a straight-up money line, favorite bet of the weekend?
I think the Bills, I think they're just on a roll right now. I think that they go all the way. I think they cover against Pittsburgh. I really like them. I think they're a dangerous team in the AFC.
Ali Melnicki, we appreciate you as always. Appreciate your best bets. Enjoy the games this weekend, even if your New York Giants won't be participating.
Thanks,
might be kind of a relief, honestly. Maybe
I'll
kind
throw
of
that
relief.
One in there.
Ali, we
all right,
appreciate
thank you.
Thanks
Ali.
For joining us.
Thank you.
Yep.
It does kind of feel like, and we heard Bill Belichick mm-hmm. in Robert Kraft's press conference. Robert Kraft said, "We know we look to fill this vacancy quickly." Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people will probably read into that and say, "Well, they're gonna hire Mike Vrabel tomorrow." Breathe. Everybody breathe.
No.
They do have to go through the same hiring processes and same hiring practices that the rest of the National Football League has to go through. Mm-hmm. They do have to satisfy the Rooney Rule. They do have to interview two external minority candidates. They cannot interview any coach that's currently under contract with the NFL until the divisional round of the playoffs is over. Mike Vrabel's going to go somewhere else, and it's going to feel weird, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
And it may hurt for a day or a season. But it will be okay. The Titans will get this thing back in order.
And, you know, there's going to be more and more, especially as these coaching searches start to ramp up, especially as New England search starts to ramp up, there's going to be more and more pro-Mike Vrabel national media. And that's not an anti-national media sentiment. It's just that's something that we know, that we've heard for so long. The national media loves Mike Vrabel, uh-huh. adores Mike Vrabel, thinks Mike Vrabel can do no wrong. We played a few clips from Michael Lombardi's GM Shuffle podcast earlier. Oh, you know, who are you going to hire to replace Mike Vrabel? Look, if Mike Vrabel's replaceable.
Yeah, if I was an alien just coming to the earth and listen to Mike Lombardo, I would have thought Vrabel won like 5 or 6 championships.
How many did he win?
None.
He's a good coach.
As a player, he's won 3.
Yeah.
But as a coach, he hasn't won any. But that doesn't mean he's not a good coach. But even good coaches get replaced.
He's a good coach. He made a lot of missteps and a lot of mistakes with the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be
that
okay.
That he did.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love on your people. Peace.